brought to you by Shatified Salon and Barbershop, Southside, Northside, Windermere, and Downtown, where struds, actually, I should say, where studs like struds get their haircut. Learn more at shatified.com. Did Gregor write that liner? Strutty's a self-proclaimed good-looking guy, right? Low tide as we bring in Alan Mitchell.
Well, I will say this. Strutty is a beauty.
Yes.
I will also say, for a guy who played as many NHL games, he left the game with most of his body parts in the same spot they were at the beginning.
So. Oh, man. There are guys out there that have had some of the most gruesome injuries out there. Yeah, Strutty, I think, has most of his real teeth in place, too.
When I was a kid, I would get hockey cards every year. And there was a man named Ted Harris, who was a Montreal Canadiens defenseman and then Minnesota North Stars. And every one of his new hockey cards, his nose had another, like, I don't know, like little valley in it, right? And by the time 75 or so came around when he was with the Minnesota, you had to stare at his card because his nose was no longer human.
Well,
it was like a ski slope.
Well, was it any worse than Mike Ricci, or was it better?
No. Well, Ricci, God gifted Ricci, you know,
yes.
Like he got that out of the gate, you know.
I believe he was voted sexiest man in hockey one year.
You know what? And the funny thing about Ricci was he was a great hockey player. I loved him. Man, he was a good player.
Jack of all trades. Those guys you can appreciate. And I think he lasted almost 20 years in the league, won a bunch of cups and stuff. So
very
good on
effective.
Mike Ricci.
Very effective player.
Totally. All right, low tide. Hockey season's almost here. I mean, the weather would certainly be indicative of that, but the calendar says it too. Things get going September 6th in Red Deer when the Oilers go head-to-head, or the rookies go head-to-head with the Flames rookies. Now, Jim Matheson pointed this out. He said it would be beneficial for these rookies to be playing in a tournament like we saw with the Young Stars Classic for years. I think that went on for 8 years. What do you make of that whole situation? Is it a mistake not to have a rookie tournament and even to not play the Golden Bears anymore?
Well, I think the Golden Bears thing is that's a short-term issue. I suspect it'll get solved between the Oilers owner and, from what we can tell, the university. That's one of those things that there's an ebb and a flow to everything. The issue with the Young Stars was when they first started, you know, doing the Young Stars game, it was all for kids who were, you know, maybe drafted that year, some junior invites, and maybe a 21-year-old who'd played and gotten hurt in year one of their entry deal. By the time it was done, you had some legitimate, like, bigger guys, and so it sort of became, okay, I've got a teenage skinny winger who's a first-round pick, and he's going up against some other bigger fellas. And so it sort of changed. They have to decide what they want it to be. I think as a tournament to get kids ready for main camp, and they're all kids, is a good idea. If you got a 24-year-old guy who's going to be your enforcer on your AHL team, and he's there, then I'm wondering what you're doing.
Yeah, I think Cameron Abney holds the record for most games played in the Classic. You know what's interesting? I'll throw this out there. I tweeted it earlier in the day, Tide, but it was actually the Flames that pulled out of the tournament first last year, and then the Oilers followed shortly after. And then so the Jets and Canucks rookies were the only ones left. They played a two-game set. And the Crew in Penticton, they brought in the U of A Golden Bears as well as the UBC Thunderbirds to play a two-game set. Like, what did you make of the format when it was actually the NHL rookies going head-to-head? And how much do you miss it, or would you think that it could come back as well?
Well, I think this year is a good year for the Oilers to be out of it because their number one pick is already over in Europe. And you know, Lavoie will be here to play these two games. There's an ebb and a flow to it. It'll come back. I think the reason the Oilers were so hot to do it was they always had a number one, two, or three overall pick to show to the masses and get people excited about it. They're in a different mode now, and I think so is Calgary, and maybe even Vancouver. So it's not as sexy. I don't know if you can sell tickets. Can you sell tickets to, like, who would be the number one? I guess Evan Bouchard. That's pretty sexy, but it's not as front and center for the organization now as it was when Taylor Hall and Nuge and Yakupov and certainly Connor McDavid were coming through town as newbies. I remember when even orientation camp right after the draft when McDavid was drafted, there was a crowd to see McDavid skate around real fast, and he did, and it wasn't disappointing. So they need a calling card. I think there's a sense that maybe they're in a downturn now, but I mean, if the Oilers got the number 4 overall pick next summer, we might see something.
Fair enough. Tied in your article today at The Athletic, you brought up the Oilers missing first-shot scoring wingers. In your opinion, how much of a detriment will this be to the team in 2019-20?
It'll be big. And the problem is, you know, ordinarily, if you've got a hole on your roster, you'd like to have a young player coming up and maybe filling that hole. Now, they have some candidates. They have Yamamoto, who had a wrist injury a year ago, Kirill Maximov, who's probably a year away, even if he does well in Bakersfield. This Lavoie, who they just drafted, looks like a really strong candidate, but he's going to play another year in junior for sure. So everybody that they have who's young and promising is a year away, The NHL, the guys pushing out towards the NHL, the Marodis and the Bensons, are maybe more puck movers and passers than they are shooters. So you're going to have to rely on you know, Draisaitl, James Neal, Cassian, Chiasson probably for the skill lines, maybe Gagne. They need a guy who can cash. James Neal could do this organization a massive favor by shooting the puck 300 times this year and, you know, cashing in 15% of them. That's their hope. You'd like to have more than one, though. That was the premise of the article, is that you want to have Neil and another guy in the NHL, then you want to have all these other guys pushing. And even, you know, it could be something as simple as Yamamoto coming in here and you know, shooting lights out in preseason and then doing something he hasn't done yet, and that's scoring early in the regular season should he make the team or dominating down in Bakersfield. They just need somebody that they can put in that category. You need a scorer, and they're a little low on those guys, and they are very, very valuable, and they don't come cheaply.
Host of The Lowdown, Lotai, joining us right now. And Tide, I'm sure you get these questions all the time. I know I do. Is people float out names in terms of PTOs. Do you foresee the Oilers throwing out a PTO offer to anyone? Who would you ideally would like to see if they were to go down that route, if that were to actually happen?
Well, I mean, there's some nice guys out there, but most of them are going to end up going to teams that have a better chance to win, to make the playoffs or win the Stanley Cup. Like Thomas Vanek would be really nice.
Yeah.
But he's probably, you know, he'll probably end up down east somewhere. He usually ends up in somewhere in the eastern part of the North America. A contract I like. I don't think he'd be a PTO. Riley Sheahan would be a nice checking center for this team. There are some. I keep reading on Twitter, although I have no confirmation of it, and really haven't heard it from what we could call a credible source. That Patrick Marleau is a player of interest. He'd be a really interesting player. But there's five or six guys out there. But the Oilers are not a team that necessarily would be, I guess, first or second choice, simply because they're not a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those guys, if you're going to come back for another year, if you're Marleau, you probably want to win the Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, Ty, I have to ask you, our friends in Winnipeg hosted an NFL game yesterday. Funny to follow all the tweets from all kinds of people, and you were in on the fun as well. What'd you make of that? Because I know you're a fan of the football.
Well, I was disappointed. Look, I understand these athletes are tremendously well paid, and their welfare is number one. But it was the reason they went from the 0-yard line to the 10-yard line was supposedly safety, but it was just a small bump. They changed the entire look of the game, and it made it feel really like unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it reflected poorly on the NFL. The city of Winnipeg, the Blue Bombers, and unfortunately the CFL, who really had nothing to do with it. But the culprit is the NFL. They are the big bully, and that was an example, in my opinion, of being a big bully, where you don't even really care what the game looks like or what the crowd might think or the audience might think. You're the NFL, and you can do whatever the hell you want. And it was I wanted to be entertained.
Yeah.
And those are great football players, and it was entertaining, but it was made less by a really crumb bum decision. That was the weirdest decision, I have to say, I've seen in a long time. I I almost would rather they didn't play than play the way they did.
Tide, I'm with you there. As always, pal, great talking to you. Enjoy the weekend, and talk to you again soon.
All right, have a great weekend, boys.
That is Low Tide.